Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The gospel story for this week opens up with Jesus asking his apostles what the people are saying about him. Who do they think he is? Essentially, Jesus is conducting a popular opinion poll. Based upon what the people have been hearing and what he has taught and what they have saw in his miracles, he wonders whether or not the people are beginning to form an impression of him. Now notice, first, in the gospel story as it opens up, where are they? They are in Caesarea Philippi. They're in Gentile territory. Now this is odd. Why does Jesus ask what the Gentiles think of him? If he really wants to know what the people think of him, he would have asked this question in Jewish territory as he is passing through a Jewish village or town. Jesus is a Jew, and the other Jews know that. Furthermore, it is the Jews, not the Gentiles, who have been praying for centuries for a Messiah to come, and Jesus is the manifestation of that Messiah. Therefore, by asking this question, Jesus really doesn't care what the people think of him. Yet what he does care about is the answer to the second question, the question that is directed directly to the apostles, when Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" Notice now the silence. The apostles are no longer answering him. Yet Peter does. Peter knows the answer to that question, and he speaks up. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter answers the question correctly. He knows the true identity of Jesus Christ, that Christ is the Son of God. Yet, how did Peter come to this conclusion? Was it because Peter was the most devout or the holiest among all the apostles? No. Not at all. Remember, just a few weeks ago, the story in which Peter is walking on the water. Because of his lack of faith, he begins to sink. Jesus grabs him up, helps him into the boat, and says to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Then, fast forward towards the latter part of Matthew's gospel. In Jesus' dire need, it is Peter that denies ever even knowing Jesus Christ three times. So Peter is not the holiest of the 12. Is Peter the smartest of all the 12? And maybe that's the reason why he came to this accurate conclusion of Jesus' identity. No, not at all. Historians believe that Peter was illiterate. He did not know how to read or write. In fact, what Peter would do is he would employ what we would refer to in our day and age as secretaries, people who would write letters for him or would read those letters that are addressed to him. Great example of this is Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark. In 60 AD, it was Mark who traveled to Rome where Peter was to work on his gospel. Mark was Peter's designated interpreter and translator. Many scripture scholars believed that the primary source of Mark's gospel was Peter, that essentially Peter dictated to Mark everything that he knew about Jesus Christ, and therefore Mark was able to construct his gospel. And so Peter wasn't the smartest. And so how did Peter come to this correct knowledge of Jesus Christ? It was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, given to him by the Father. Peter now saw that Jesus truly was the Son of God. That's why Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." Now, it is important for us to stop right here and understand how crucial a moment this is for all of us. What we have to recognize is that all of church tradition, doctrine, teaching, liturgy, sacraments, do not rest upon the popular opinion polls of the public. If it did, then we would be utterly wrong in what we believe in and in our identity of God. Just like those people at the very beginning of the story of the gospel, they were wrong, completely wrong, in who they believed Jesus was. Well, so too will we be if we rely upon the popular opinion of others in forming our impression of who God is. Instead, what we have to recognize is that our tradition, our doctrine, our teaching, our sacraments, our dogmas, all rest upon the fact that they have been given to us by Christ, and our understanding of them have evolved throughout the centuries, primarily due to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to us by the Father, just like it was for Peter. The story continues. After Peter's confession, Jesus responds by referring to Peter as Simon, son of Jonah. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Now, this is strange. Why he refers to Peter as son of Jonah? Chances are Peter's real father was not named Jonah, because Jonah was a very, very unusual Jewish name during the time of Jesus Christ. So why does Jesus refer to him as Jonah? Well, Jonah is Hebrew for dove. What Jesus is trying to do is he's pointing now to a relationship between the Holy Spirit and Peter. The same Holy Spirit that confirmed publicly that Jesus was the Son of God in the form of a dove that descended upon Christ after his baptism is now the same Holy Spirit that has inspired Peter's confession of Jesus, so that Peter now knows Jesus' true identity as the Son of God. Now notice, Jesus continues. He says, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Flesh and blood. Essentially, Jesus is referring to us. He's more or less telling Peter, "Peter, you did not reach this conclusion by yourself without needing the assistance of God or others." Now, what's our temptation here? To do just that, to rely upon flesh and blood to understand God as well as his teachings of his church. It's the attitude of, "I don't need the help of anyone to form my opinion of God. I don't need God's help or anyone else to help me form my opinion or my conclusion of who God is, or to understand the teachings of Christ." My friends, what we have to realize, God does not reveal himself on our terms, the way we want him to, or how we want him to. Instead, it's a basic biblical truth that God reveals himself on his own terms, when he wants to and how he wants to. You see this throughout all of sacred scripture. God is constantly revealing himself in different ways, in different forms. For example, God reveals himself in the form of a burning bush to Moses on Mount Sinai. God reveals himself in the form of a tiny whisper to Elijah hiding in the cave. God reveals himself in the voice calling out to Samuel as he is sleeping in the temple. God reveals himself in the form of a sharp lightning bolt that strikes St. Paul as he's riding on the road to Damascus. God is constantly revealing himself throughout all of salvation history, yet he does it at times when we least expect it. Yet what's the key? That we must be open to receive it, properly disposed to receive that divine revelation from the Holy Spirit given to us from God the Father. Remember the story of the Magi. As the story opens up, it is the three wise men that are scanning the night sky. They are watching, analyzing, waiting for the star, night after night after night. After some time, finally, they receive the sign, a special star that is glowing in the night that now reveals to them the presence of Jesus Christ in this world. My friends, we have to be open to the presence of God in our life, like Peter did. Peter, through prayer, through listening to the teachings of Christ, through just simply being in the presence with Christ, overcame his doubt, surrendered himself to God. And in that surrendering, in that opening up, he was now inspired by the Holy Spirit, such that the Father allowed him to see Jesus Christ as he truly was. Friends, Peter represents all of Christianity. Peter represents you, and he represents me, all of us. There have been moments when we all have doubted in our own faith lives. Yet there have also been moments when we have had profound revelation, when we have seen the presence of God in our life through people, events, circumstances, sacraments, in prayer, when it suddenly has clicked for us. It's important for us to follow the example of Peter. Turn yourself over to God. Turn your intellect, your heart, your will, and your soul over to God. Open yourself up, just like Peter did, through a daily prayer life, through active participation in the sacraments, going to Mass as often as possible, by studying and reading Scripture. These are all ways that we, just like Peter, open ourselves up. Now we are properly disposed to receive the divine inspiration of God. And my friends, what we have to recognize is God truly does reveal himself in our life. Perhaps God has revealed himself already to us. Perhaps he's revealed himself in the form of an inner peace. It's a peace that is deep within inside of us, a joy. We can't explain it. We don't know where it came from. Yet, we feel its presence. That's the hallmark of God. Perhaps God has revealed himself to you in the form of a miraculous healing of an illness or recovery of an injury. Perhaps God has revealed himself to us in the form of coincidences that are all too frequent, yet unexplained. Perhaps God has revealed himself to us in the form of the beauty of nature. Perhaps God has truly revealed himself to us in the form of the birth of your son, your daughter, or your grandchild. My friends, God is always revealing himself to us for the express purpose of drawing us closer to him. This weekend, Peter is teaching us a valuable lesson. First and foremost, we truly have to believe that Jesus has been revealing himself to us throughout all of salvation history. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Father has allowed his Son to be revealed to all of us. Yet what we have to do is be like Peter. Remain open through prayer, sacraments, studying Scripture. Those are all the ways in which we keep our heart, our mind, and our soul open now for the Holy Spirit to come and inspire us. And through the power of God the Father, now we truly see Jesus Christ, his Son, active and present in our life. And we see that because the love of God has for us. And because God wants nothing more than for us to draw closer to him in relationship. And may the peace and the mercy of Christ rest upon you always.